Now, it is Monday morning, and every other Monday morning, we check in with the Bloomington Police Department, and we talk to our good friend, Captain Steve Kellums. Captain Kellums, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Margaret.
And it is December, and it's a busy time of year. It's always busy in your world, as we know, as the Bloomington Police Department gets geared up for the holidays. And it's a little bit different here because we do have the student population that will leave for Christmas break for some time. But we know that that season could make sure everybody's locked up and put away before they get out of here. But you've got a big fundraiser coming up, and we want to kick off with that. Tell us about all the toys that you're trying to bring in for all the girls and boys.
Well, we are so excited this year to have been selected by the Indiana Pacers organization and Jack's Pacific Toys to help distribute a bunch of toys to needy Hoosier kids. The program is we're going to give away about 3,000 toys. Now, we're going to have a press conference on Wednesday, December 7th at 2:30 p.m. over at City Hall with the mayor and the chief. And a lot of members from the Pacers organization, they're going to come down and start this toy giveaway. And I got to tell you, Glass, it's just really fun because when I first started hearing from the Pacers about this and they started sending us some information, you know, they said 3,000 toys, we want to give these to you so you can give away. And my thoughts were, we're going to get, you know, little boomer stuffed animals to hand out.
Nope.
No, it doesn't look like that.
No. You know, whenever they said, here's our delivery date, by the way, they're 12 pallets worth of toys and you'll need people to help unload the truck. 2.5 hours later, after unloading the semi-truck in the rain, it was pretty easy to see that this was going to be something special. So we're really, really excited about it.
How did you get involved with the Pacers and, what is it, Jack's Toys on all of this?
Well, they reached out to us, and this is something they've been doing for a number of years in a row now. And they've been bouncing back and forth between different organizations to give toys out to Hoosier kids. And this year they're working with a number of police agencies across the community, across Indiana, and we were just selected by them to be one of those agencies. So, again, we're really excited about that, and we're looking forward to being able to give these toys out. It's just going to be a lot of fun.
Now, how are you going to distribute them throughout the community? Do you have a plan for that yet?
Great question. We do. We have some plans. We're going to start giving them away. We looked at all of our community partners to start with. We've been reaching out to them over the last couple of weeks. Head Start, Monroe County Head Start, Banneker Center, Fairview Elementary, a lot of these groups which we've worked with time and again. We're going back to them to see what their needs are. And then after that, once we fill those needs there, that's when things will get interesting and we'll try to figure out how to get the kids out or the toys out to the kids that really need them. And we'll see where we go from there. So we have a beginning plan, and then we'll just see how it plays out.
Do you need help from our community in either getting them off the pallets or any way we can help out?
Got it all done so far, so we're good on that right now. But I do know, if you know of needy people and you know anyone that needs those toys for Christmas for those kids, have them get in touch with us. Have them contact the Bloomington Police Department. They can ask for me, and I'll get them added to lists, and we'll see what we can do about getting toys out to where they need to be. And particularly if you're an organization that is already involved in helping kids in the community, that's where we want to start our efforts at. Those people that are day in and day out every year trying to help the community, that's where we want to start with these toys.
I'm guessing that you've been in communication with Jeff Baldwin at the Boys and Girls Club. I'm thinking he probably is the point man on this.
Oh yeah, we've reached out. We've reached out to all of them, and like I said, trying to see exactly what we can do and where we can go with these things, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So we get to call you Santa's elves this year.
That's right.
Yeah,
Santa's
yeah.
blue elves.
That is awesome. That's really sweet. What a fun thing that you get to participate in. So.
It's just really exciting to look around and see. And I looked at this big stack of boxes and thought, what am I going to do with all these? And then I realized, what a wonderful problem to have.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it was. So again, that's what makes it so exciting.
Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. He checks in with the Bloomington Police Department every other Monday morning, and we get caught up on what's happening in our fair city. Well, what else is making news? We know that, obviously, the Christmas time and the gift-giving, that press conference you said is coming up Wednesday, is that right? So we'll hear more details coming out there.
And that, yes, Wednesday at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Perfect. Did you have any calls on Krampus? Margaret and I were talking about that earlier this weekend. I took a live action shot when I was downtown this weekend. Anybody get a little creeped out by that?
No, didn't have any problems at all with Krampus. we try to provide as much security as that for that, because we know that's becoming a bigger thing every year now, and we've got to have enough security,
so
I guess,
silly.
To keep the streets closed and those kinds of things. So we had officers working. They contracted officers to work for that to make sure everybody was safe for it. We did get a picture on our new Instagram page. Talk about social media. We've kicked off an Instagram account now. So if you want more of the Bloomington Police Department on social media, now you can follow us not only on Facebook and Twitter, but Instagram as well. And we posted a picture of Officer Brett Roram with one of the Krampus during the parade.
He looks like he's grabbing him in the Krampus. I don't know if that's legal or not, but yeah. At least it keeps him at bay. That's the good news there. Hey, we know that the kids are getting ready to get out of town, and we'll talk a little bit more of this when we get our final visit of 2016 coming up in a couple weeks. But we've seen these stories out of Indianapolis and other places where, you know, gifts and things are getting stolen off people's front porches. Do you have any tips or pointers besides having a security system how we can avoid that? Because so many people order things online, have it shipped either to their home or business,
right.
And you might not get home before or after, during when the package is delivered.
Well, you know, the package companies have done a lot of things recently.
They're trying to put tracking on
there,
aren't they?
This problem. They're tracking the packages, and they've also got the ability to notify people via cell phones now that the package is at the door, and you can even pre-plan and set up delivery times. So, in other words,
that's
if you know
wonderful.
You get home at 4 o'clock every day, you can have that package delivered at 5. So the days of letting them drop it off at your front door and leave it there are gone. We know we've had those problems before, and we know that if you leave something there at the front door, that it's likely not going to be there when you come back. And the deliverers know that, and they generally have done a lot of things to work with people that are receiving those gifts, receiving those packages, to make sure they get what they've ordered and what was being delivered to them. So work with them. Look at those tools that you can have them delivered at certain times. Have them just hold it. After work, run by the delivery place and pick it up. Run by the FedEx or UPS office and pick those things up. That can also guarantee and ensure that you get those important packages for Christmas and that somebody else doesn't get to.
How do they know my size anyhow? That's well, just weird.
I'll tell you, this year I really hesitated to put almost anything out on my front porch because last Christmas we had a number of things, just decorations, stolen out of the yard and on the front porch.
Pranksters.
I mean, you know, it's really a different world. I don't even understand it. I mean, it just seems like that I don't know how people live with doing stuff like that. It's just not in my DNA.
Remember, we always talk about with Captain Kelms, there are other ways to meet police officers besides being handcuffed and violating the law. How's Coffee with a Cop doing? You got anything coming up for December?
We don't have anything coming up for December. We did one right at the very beginning of the film.
Gotcha.
I completely lost track of where I'm at.
That's all right.
I don't think we have anything planned for December.
No, the holidays
are busy.
We've
got a full thing. We've got a full slate of dates next year, looking January all the way through December next year.
Great. If you're filled in with those already, that's excellent. The community participating in some of that. Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. We always have to do a little heavy lifting with you. We don't like to do a lot of intense stuff on a Monday morning. Everybody's getting back to work. But there was a very poignant article, I thought, in this weekend's Herald Times with downtown businesses having to deal with syringe and needle disposal.
Well, worse than that, one of the
passing
the,
out,
overdosing
in a bathroom.
Right. I mean, that was just
the Herald Times story was
such a scary thing for a business owner, I would think.
The article is Dealing with Sharps, an Issue for Business Owners, was written by Abby Tonsing on Saturday's Herald Times, and the reality is it's frightening how often this happens. Is that the right word? Because business owners, obviously being downtown, we saw one of the stories from Sue Aguila, the owner of, I believe, the Bloomington Bagel Company, yes. And I didn't know the police had to deal with sharps and sharps boxes. Talk about how much of your daily duty that has to go along with. I found this all fascinating.
Well, it is
for the wrong reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that our officers are having to deal with on a fairly regular basis. Probably a couple of times a week, we're collecting sharps in a variety of places. Sometimes we're finding them just in a pile on the ground, finding them in trash containers, having people report them to us, and we're coming and collecting
those. Is that your responsibility as public safety officers to collect those, or is that
know,
the health department? Is that who is the responsible for that?
You know, that's a great question, but the reality is, if not us, then who's going to do it?
Yeah, I was going to say,
so right now,
what are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You can't leave them there.
Right, and that's just it. It's a public safety, public health problem, and so our guys are going to have to collect those. And we don't like dealing with that either, but we've had to add Sharps containers to our cars, and we have Sharps containers at the police department that we can collect those things so that they can be properly disposed of. It's an ongoing problem, but it's a challenging one. It doesn't have easy solutions right now because of everything that's going on, and we're working pretty hard to figure out ways to make the entire thing safer for our community.
The one thing I don't understand is how are we expecting people who are using in public bathrooms in broad daylight to be responsible enough to put them in Sharps containers? It sounds like we're just talking. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I once someone's clearly not going to obey the law or clearly not going to do something in their own best interest or the safety of the community, how are they going to take that next step and utilize something like a Sharps container? And it's just probably not going to happen. But hopefully, we can look at ways in which maybe we can find some middle ground, and so we can actually get some of these solutions solved. Again, it's a really difficult problem. It's a problem that we're continuing to work with on a daily basis, and our officers are having to deal with.
What is going to be the next step in fixing this? Is this going to be a mandate from the mayor's office? Is it going to be a city council resolution? Is this going to be a state health department issue? Who do we look for to guidance to get, like you said, some answers or some help trying to figure this out?
I think it has to be a complete community working together to get that done. I mean, you're looking at issues that involve you talk at the state level, you're definitely looking at issues that involve some of the HIV outbreaks and those kinds of things about using the deadly needles that we saw in Scott County and some of the steps that were taken to try to alleviate that HIV outbreak there because of that issue. And that's what pushes some of these clean needles and providing them more needles so we're not using the dirty needles so we can help stop this epidemic outbreak. But then at the same time, you also have the issues of these dirty and many times clean needles just left lying around that we have to pick up, and how's our community going to deal with that? And then on top of all that is you're dealing with the opioid epidemic. You're dealing with that heroin epidemic that is just running rampant across the United States right now, and that gets to a core of this problem. So
is this a cultural issue? Is it? I'm just at a loss right now because it seems to me that until we get people to look at this is completely unacceptable, and that that they feel some sort of community responsibility. I don't see how you stop this.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very fair statement at what point, where are you going to put that culpability to? Who is finally responsible and who's going to be the responsible party in that? But again, you're looking at heroin addicts they have zero ability to think about anything but that next fix. And that increases, we've seen those issues with the increase in thefts and the increase in stolen property, like you talked about in the Christmas and just decorations being stolen. That heroin addict who is looking, they will do anything to get that next fix. They will steal anything. And making that next step of properly disposing of those needles or even using clean needles, that's a stretch sometimes for them, and it just doesn't seem to happen very much.
So, I don't know if this is
is a huge problem.
I don't know if this is enabling it, but it seems like it's condoning it when the person, and I'm reading the article here from the Indiana Recovery Alliance, the program's director suggested the use of Sharps containers and offered them to police and parks departments. Well, what do you mean parks departments? We're telling you it's okay to go down to the park because there's a Sharps box there and have your fix? Is that sounds like it's condoning it. So when the recovery people are saying that, well, wait a second. How does that work out? I'm not asking for your comment here. I'm just giving a general opinion on this. I don't understand that one bit. Let's stick some Sharps boxes in our parks. In our parks? What do you mean in our parks? What do you mean? How does that work out?
Well, and not only that, but there was the Safe and Civil City meeting on Saturday over at the Showers building. I don't know if you were there or not.
Oh, no, unfortunately, I couldn't make it.
Well, I mean, one of the things that happened there is that there was a huge community turnout for this. And, you know, there was another group who came in supposedly representing the homeless, and they disrupted the meeting. And about, you know, it sounded like about two-thirds of the people ended up leaving because of this disruption and them trying to take over the meeting.
Well, no, we got two different kind of angles going on here.
And I'm not suggesting that they don't have a right to speak, Glass. That's not my point. There's a way to do it. There is a way to let them speak.
I want to make sure people know that we're not
made people feel so uncomfortable.
Right. We went from talking about syringes to the homeless really quickly, and I want to make sure that people understand that
They're not mutually inclusive, but they are connected. They are connected.
I'm not going to say anything on that. I don't have that fact in front of me.
I'm sorry, but there a lot of the people who are having drug and alcohol issues are part of that group.
The point I find that the back to this needle box real quickly is the solution is put the needle boxes, the sharps boxes in our businesses, in our parks. And to me, that blows my mind of that's going to fix things and make things better. It's going to make safer needle disposal. That's about it. But that I don't know if that's the way to move forward.
Well, and again, it's the whole cultural thing, isn't it? Are we saying that this is all acceptable?
Fair questions and tough answers. And again, trying to figure out how to make this work. The Bloomington Police Department, as we've told you, through this is right in the middle of it. And they've got to deal with it whether they like to or not. And Captain Steve Kellums is our guest this morning. And sitting there quietly is not a bad position to take on any of this. I agree with you 100% because there is no answer. And the answer right now is trying to find an answer. And I don't envy your position because, again, when things don't work or things aren't working properly, it gets thrown in your lap and you have to deal with it. And we've talked before, you've got enough manpower, you've got enough time to do all this stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the sarcasm
font. If only we were able to do what we needed to do. That's right. Yeah, if only we had what we needed to get all of the different things done.
Well, that's what people don't understand. They say, well, we got problems with perhaps the homeless. We have problems with vagrants in the park. We have problems with sharps. And then we throw it all in the police department's lap. It says, here you go.
Yeah.
You guys deal with it all.
Great. I mean, I think that's part of that community discussion was talking about this, though, because it wasn't just about the homeless. It was also about this issue with people using drugs downtown and the safety of the people downtown. And I just...
And who provides that safety? That's the Captain Kellums and his
group.
That's
why I figured you guys would be included in that discussion.
Well, you know, and the other thing, though, I really want to point out here is that the fact that we had that meeting on Saturday, I think, is a really important step. And the fact that even though it didn't necessarily go the way everybody wanted that to go, I guess, the reality is that having those community conversations is part of the process that we're going to have to go through to end up at some kind of solution to keep everybody safe. And whether we're talking about the cultural, whether you're talking about state laws or federal laws or local laws or how we're going to enforce these or what we're going to do, the reality is that it's something the entire community has to come together. And if we're not sitting down having these conversations, then we're not going to be able to solve those problems. So at least we're starting to take those first steps now.
Tough one, my friend, tough one. And the answers are tougher than the solution and putting it forward. Everybody's going to have a way to do this the right way. It's finding a consistent message that comes out for it. And as Sue Aguila said in her thing, I'm willing to be educated. At this point, I think it's the city's responsibility to make downtown safer, and that falls, I would say, right in your purview on all this. Hey, we know you got a little bit under the weather, but we appreciate you coming
making
on with us
time
this morning.
For us. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you very
right.
much.
My pleasure, guys.
Hey, hang in there, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks and hopefully maybe find at least some direction on this moving forward.
All right. Take care.
Great job as always. We appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Captain Steve Kellums from the Bloomington Police Department. Yeah, he can't always tell us what he feels. There's no doubt about that. But I think just this again, when things go poorly or things don't go according to Hoyle or we have issues, it falls right on the police. Did you know the cops had to go around and pick up needles? I had no idea.
Oh, I did.
Until I read that article,
yes.
I was like,
no,
I thought that was a health department deal or somebody else?
No, I knew that they were having to do that. I was sure of it.
And again, reading this article, hey, if we're going to put them in artsy boxes, that's going to help. No, it's not going to help. people that if you don't want to get caught, you'd put them in those boxes and go about your day. But I don't think how it works.
Well, it's because, you know, once you start shooting up something, how much brain power have to put towards this?
I don't know, and I'm glad I don't know, but I don't think
it doesn't even make sense.
I don't think
sense.
Spending our time painting boxes or having artistically done boxes and sticking them up places is going to keep needles off the street.
It's not. It's obviously not doing that. Because even where there are boxes, like at People's Park, there isn't. They're finding stashes of it.
Five feet away, ten feet away.
Right, so exactly.
And
exactly.
Again,
look, so that's not working.
I'm not saying that heroin addiction isn't a problem. That's not the point of my statement here. The point is, these are going to be in parks and in public businesses, I'm not going to either one.
Right.
I don't care.
And it's
my opinion. If you want to give those with problems a safe, inclusive place to be because you want to, that's fine. You're allowed to do that. I don't have to live here. I don't have to stay here. I don't have to take my children downtown.
That's right.
I don't have to take them to the park.
If
our addicted community trumps daily life here, fine. No problem with it. You're
going
to have a change in people here. And there's a great amount of people here that want to help. And those that want to have help, condoning use in public places,
is
buildings, parks, businesses,
yeah.
I don't buy that. I'm not going to buy it, and you're not going to change my mind ever on that.
Because
you're catering to 200, 300 people to change our culture, and I'm not buying it. Sorry. Send your cards and letters. That's fine. I don't agree with it 100%. You've already had things in the College Mall for 10 years, I'm reading in this article. 10 years. Bathrooms at College Mall have sharps disposals. Great. Great.
Unbelievable.
Awesome. So you want to put them in parks? You want to put them in places where people do a lot of drugs? How about get the people that are doing drugs help? I don't know.
I don't
have the answers. Captain Kellums doesn't have the answers.
Well,
the Downtown Coalition doesn't have the answers.
It's not his position have to do that. But one of the things that is disturbing to me, you know, when going back to that meeting on Saturday, is that there is a certain group in this community who think that we should just we should just leave these people alone and let them do whatever they want, and that it's perfectly okay, and that we should have to change our culture to accommodate them. And I'm sorry, you're wrong. It is time for people to grow up and realize that when you turn into an adult, there's adult responsibilities, and those adult responsibilities are that you have to live in a community and you have to accommodate the larger community. They don't have to accommodate you when you're being antisocial.
Illegal. Felony.
Yes. Antisocial and illegal. You are doing things that are not being conducive to making the community a better place, and that you tell me I have to accommodate you. Sorry, you're wrong.
Hey, you can have an opinion on this. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be opinion-driven. And, again, people need help. People deserve help. I don't think you should force people to get involved in things they don't want to. Sue Aguila made a great point. I've got people working in here for minimum wage, so I have to take training time to show them how to get rid of sharps because of the people that can't play by the law. I'm on Sue's team 100%. There makes no sense. 8:31 at WGCL, and I'm on Sue's team for this too. I'm willing to get educated as well. You show me a way to solve it, I'll help you solve it. I'll get on board, and I'll jump on that train, and I will be the conductor. I will blow the horn. I will try to get it better, because if we don't try to make our community better, it's not going to get any better.
No.
And it's great that people want to provide help to these people, but again, we can't shape putting them in parks. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
No.
Hey, there's the swing set. Hey, there's the merry-go-round. There's what is that, Dad? Well, that's the needle box for people that have
or
a needle problem.
The guy's sleeping underneath the park bench, or it's sleeping under the picnic tables.
Tired.
Oh, kids, that's just somebody who's sleeping under the bench. And oh, where are those bottles by them, Daddy? I mean, what is wrong with us that we think that this is okay?
8:32 at WGCL.